If you seriously need to save on groceries, and more for less is what you crave, Food City understands the struggle is real. That's why their high-quality store brands are such a great deal. Nobody does quality and savings like Food City.
It's hour number two of the Arcade Show. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day, everybody. Hope if you have the day off, you're celebrating at home with some
family, loved ones, whatever you do.
Yeah, friends, family, and staying safe out there because the roads are still a little slick in several areas. Sun's starting to come out, which should help that situation tremendously. But also, remember, I think now more than ever, some of the words from Dr. King probably are more applicable than they've ever been as we all take some deep breaths and learn to respect each other.
You know, in schools, everyone does a great job of going through this and explaining it's as much a part of our history as a country as anything. And what is cool about it, it's anytime there's a day off, right? Okay, it's Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. Conversation, that's Jesus's birthday. Mm-hmm. Hey, we don't have school on Monday. Why don't we have school? They already knew. I asked them because I was going to lose it on both my kids. They're 8 and 11. They need to know. Like, they should know.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. They both knew and spit back out a lot of the stuff they had heard at school. So Eaton Elementary School and North Middle School in the North City, doing a good job of continuing to explain that and for us to keep getting moving forward.
Speaking of moving forward, the Tennessee basketball team on Saturday.
Listen, I know everybody loves John Fulkerson. I love John Fulkerson. I don't know if you know this, but the first nickname that he ever drew,
the Bald Eagle,
was the Bald Eagle for me at Matt Basketball Media Days. And Tom Setkoviak was like, that's the stupidest thing ever. And I was like, I remember turning off the air and going, at least he's good enough to get a nickname now. Like, no one really even knew who he was. He's, the Bald Eagle. He started getting some dunks, and he is just an overseas four. He's not a center. He can't play center in any country that has professional basketball. He just can't. He's too small and skinny. And then you get a little injury on a guy like that. Some guys can handle an ankle sprain or a little tweaked knee that slows you down a step. He needs literally everything he can just to compete with the big guys in this conference. We need to stop expecting him. Like, listen, there will be a league game this year, a tough one, where he scores 25 points again and is unconscious.
More on that game coming up. Right now, it's time for the 10 o'clock reset. That's thanks to our friends at Craven Wings. Every Monday through Thursday at the South North Shore store, kids 10 and under eat free from the kids menu with the purchase of an adult meal. Craven Wings loves kids. They love to save you money. The cleanest, healthiest chicken available anywhere. Also, Monday's Burger Day.
Oh, strong.
Craven Wings, Seymour on Chapman Highway and South North Shore at Chodo. More on Tennessee hoops coming up. Both the men and the women. Lady Vols gave it right back to Kentucky yesterday. A dominating performance of another top 20 team yesterday at Thompson Bowling Arena. Tamari Key injured, but Kelly Harper said after the game, I hope she will be back at practice later this week. Just a tweak of her ankle. Certainly a huge sigh of relief after the game for Kelly Harper and her team. But more on their performance yesterday coming up. And then a lot more on NFL Wildcard Weekend. Because, man, what a slate of games. With the exception of the pair of 2-7 matchups, those were not fun at all. Tampa Bay basically held Philadelphia at arm's length and let Philadelphia take empty swings at them and then pummeled them.
It was bad.
And similarly, last night, Pittsburgh and Kansas City, Pittsburgh threw some punches early, and then all of a sudden Kansas City'd, and boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah. The teams that are going to win, I have a feeling the AFC and NFC championship games are going to be incredible. Absolutely incredible. I mean, are the Titans going to be able to do it? They got the bye. Packers had the bye. What are we looking at here?
Nobody is going to believe in the Titans except Titans fans, and I think Titans fans are okay with that.
The problem is, and I remember saying this when it happened, basketball is a tournament sport. Football is a playoff sport. All you got to do is get there. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs, for the first month of the season, they weren't like just not great. They were kind of bad.
Yeah.
Like on offense, on defense, on special teams, they just were not a good football team. Kansas City that you draw now in the playoffs is the team that you would have put the the best odds on to win the whole thing.
They needed some time to figure out how they were going to get there this year, but
they did.
It seems like they have now figured
they're
it out.
They're there. You know, the Packers were already there. The Bucks, they're missing still three of their top five wide receiver pass-catching targets. Their linemen were just mauling.
Meanwhile,
their defense held. Philly was the best rushing offense. They're the best run game in the entire NFL, and they could not do anything against the Bucs front seven.
Meanwhile, over in Nashville, the Titans are projected, if they get through Cincinnati, would be an underdog in the AFC Championship game to any of the other teams. You know Mike Vrabel is licking his chops at that.
They better get past Joe Burrow and the Bengals first.
100%.
When Jamar Chase touches it, he scores.
That was a very impressive performance for them on Saturday. The Raiders, though, played very well as well.
The Raiders, they're not a bad team.
But Joe Burrow...
not how you start. It's where you're at right now. And Cincinnati, just like all these other teams, no one wants to draw the Titans. Cincinnati doesn't want to play the Titans. They're huge. They maul. There's a chance Derrick Henry is playing. Well, I'm going to believe he's 100% when I watch him run the football.
Sure.
But he's still going to be good enough to get out there. And when he's out there, he's like any NBA all-star on the court, even if they're not 100%. If they're out there, Klay Thompson, someone is on him like glue, sticking him. Even if he's not going to kill him shooting the ball, it's like if Derrick Henry's out there, the next thing you know, the Bengals have another guy down in the box.
Okay, but here's the thing. Who in the NFL is 100% right now?
If
Derrick Henry is 80%, and fresh.
I'm playing him. Don't get me wrong.
If there's no rust, he might have that extra gear that other players right now don't, because they have been beaten up every week for the last 18 weeks.
Well, and to your point, by the fourth quarter in a playoff game, no one's 100%. Going sure. into the game, first quarter, 100% is a loose term.
They've been shot up to 100%.
Yeah. Like to start the game, most of them are fine. By the fourth quarter, they're not. And Derrick Henry, with fresh legs, if he doesn't get any dings or anything, I wouldn't even care. He's not even going to be killing them in the first quarter. That's not what he does. He wears teams down. He's done it since Alabama, and he's done it to being the rushing leader in the NFL more than one time. By the fourth quarter, those arm tackles, because those guys aren't 100%, he runs right through them. And you can have a good plan for that. You can't plan for being tired and sore and tired of trying to tackle this guy.
Yeah.
Because then they go boop and they throw a little screen to the other side. With him healthy, it's the easiest offensive game plan to have. You just hand it to him enough, he's going to break tackles for you. He's going to make yards. He's going to move the chains. And it stresses the defense so much that their guys, and they have some really good pass catchers, they can throw it wherever they want to. I mean,
and I think, as you mentioned week before last, they have developed some depth at running back over the course of the season where you don't have to have him. If he practices and you feel like he's not ready to go, you don't necessarily have to have him out there. Maybe you wait a week. Now, there's no waiting in the playoffs.
You can grind him down with that other guy they have, the other giant running back, and then have them both healthy for the fourth quarter.
Let's talk to Jacob. Jacob, you're on the Eric Haynes Show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm really encouraged by the fact that Henry will be back. And I do like what you guys have alluded to already, the two-headed monster between Henry and Foreman. You're not going to find two bigger backs in the NFL and that can run. I mean, Henry topped out at 22 miles an hour during the regular season. Now, we'll see with his injury if he can do that now. You got Brown healthy. You got Julio Jones healthy and on the field, which hasn't happened that much throughout the regular season.
In his entire career.
Right. And, Eric, I know you're not a fan of this guy, but Ryan Tannehill is the most underrated player.
Blasphemy. I never said I wasn't a fan of his.
I've listened to you since he became a Titan, and even when he was with the Dolphins. You don't have to come out and
Tannehill, I don't think, is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's proven
Trent
that
Dilfer
in that system.
He's better than Trent Dilfer.
Well, it's a different team in a different era. It doesn't matter if he's better than Trent Dilfer. It matters if he's good enough to quarterback the Titans to one. And that's what I've said. I'll believe it when I see it, because that rarely ever happens. It's the NFL. Usually one of the teams that wins has one of those first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks. That's how it's always been. That's how you know just to say Trent Dilfer or Brad Johnson, because everybody else.
If you look at his game, when he's had time to throw, the offensive line has played horrendous at times this year. But he can make all the throws. He usually makes good decisions. He's more adept at running the ball and getting you that first down that you need than teams give him credit for. I mean, I'm impressed with the guy. I think Derrick Jones would take him over Dak Prescott in the time that that Tannehill's been with the Titans. I think a lot of teams in the NFL in the 4 or 5 years that he's been with the Titans would take him over their starter.
The only reason I disagree with that is because the Titans have – Ryan Tannehill has the easiest job in the NFL. Running backs are healthy. He's got – it's just a different type of game that he's managing. It doesn't mean he's not good. He's managing it, and he's making plays with his legs. Ryan Tannehill I would pick over a lot of starting quarterbacks. But for the Titans, he's fine.
I agree with you, and I'll leave you with this. I realize Derrick Henry's greatness just like anybody else. I'm a big Titans fan. I've been watching him his whole career. But if Ryan Tannehill goes down in October against the Colts and not Derrick Henry, they may not make the playoffs. And that tells you Tannehill's value to the Titans right there.
Yeah. I think you're right on that, Jacob. I think the positions we're talking about, that's kind of where the difference lies. Because I think the quarterback position in the NFL is infinitely less replaceable than the running back position. I think the Titans have proven that
sure.
this year.
No, for sure. I just Tannehill. Okay, so here let's assume that the Bengals get everybody down in there. Henry's 80%, but he's not. He's getting tripped up instead of breaking that 40-yarder. It's a 6-yard run. All of these things are very, very possible. It happened to them several times in those games. Ryan Tannehill, he's like 50-50 in a game where the run game isn't smoking them. Ryan Tannehill is still good enough to be the difference maker half the time. Is he good enough if this game against the Bengals turns into a Ryan Tannehill moment? Does he have his winning performance, or is he not good enough to do it? It's not a knock on him if he's not. There's 10 quarterbacks in the NFL that you could say that about. So that's not a knock on him. It just is the case. So if they can't run the ball and Tannehill has to win him the game, I would bet Vegas that he wouldn't. That's all.
Welcome back. Tennessee Hoops on the other side. More on the NFL playoffs coming down the pike as well as you listen to the Eric Haines Show.
Welcome back into the Eric Haines Show. Brian Rice, myself, EA, Logan Ward, taking you to noon like we do each and every day.
865-656-9900 or 866-656-9900. Earl is up next. Earl, welcome into the EA Show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Everybody good?
Yeah, man.
Did you watch a game yesterday, Eric?
I did. Well, not the
Lady
whole thing.
Balls?
Not the whole thing. I watched parts of it.
It did get boring here at the end. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I watched it the other day, and they were winning by so much that it was not entertaining. That's a good problem to have, I guess.
Hey, I'm here to give them their props. Brian knows this. You know it, too. I'm a big Lady Vols fan. Followed them for years since before Pat was married. Her husband was the guy that got me to go games. So I've been going since then and watched the ups and the downs, and we're up. And of all the – I know everybody wants to tag Fulmer with Pruitt, but of all the good decisions he made before that, or after that, I guess, he hired Kelly Harper. And she has put together – she had to go out when she was hired. She re-recruited Burrell, Horston, and Key, got relationships with their parents. That's how she works. It's really been good. You ought to see the friendship all these parents have with each other. Then she went out and got two key transfers that are contributing this year, Jordan Walker and Key and Green. And then last year, she was criticized for only getting the number 15 class in a COVID-restricted year. But yet we've got contributors this year in Sarah Puckett and Brooklyn Miles. So how in the world can anybody criticize the hire? There's still people out there that do it because they think the old Boy Network, which isn't Boy in this case, was the reason she got the job that they didn't consider any other Lady Vol coaches. And she was the best person for the job. And, you know, why go out and pay somebody $2 million a year that wasn't, you know, nobody was going to come anyway. We were lucky that Philip made this decision and brought her in. And all the pieces that's contributed to the success of the team this year, 17-1, are because of the way she methodically has put this team together and built a team versus Kentucky's women's team yesterday that relied on a star and a half. I guess Jasmine Massengill's maybe regretting what she did. But, you know, it looked like some of our old Lady Vol teams back in the previous coaching era where we all sat around and waited on the star to do something, and that doesn't work in a lot of cases.
It was a very impressive performance yesterday from start to finish. Tennessee trailed the end of the first quarter 17-11, and then after that, were outscored the rest of the way and went 84-58. Outscored Kentucky in the second quarter 27-10, and in the third quarter 26-16 to put it away. Fourth quarter, Kentucky hit some shots. Tennessee got some rotation players in there, but just a really impressive performance start to finish.
It was great. I just, and I'm like you, we got five home games left. Guys, turnout. I was impressed yesterday at the turnout, despite the weather. I was afraid of what that'd do to the to the attendance, but we got a lot of people there, and they feed off of that. And we've got a special group of players right now, and getting Ray Burrell back in the mix is good. But, you know, look at what they did before she came back. Their All-American candidate was out for 13 games, and they won 12 of them. You know, that's pretty impressive. So give them their props this morning, guys.
It's remarkable, Earl. We always appreciate it. I think, as Earl said, I said it in the crossover this morning, there are five home games left. Now, they don't have one for almost 2 weeks. I believe it's 2 weeks from tonight that they play Arkansas at Thompson Bowling Arena. Then four of their last five games are at home. So you have an opportunity to get in Thompson Bowling Arena and see this team. Not a paid endorsement, but allvols.com, get your tickets now because they are an exciting team to watch. You know, that hasn't always been the case in some recent years. They're exciting to watch, and they reward the fans when they come and turn out the arena.
You know what fans drive me crazy?
What's that?
And this isn't a knock on Tennessee fans. This is how all fans are. No, that's not, hold on. This is how a lot of fans are for each team. It's not how all the fans are for any team or franchise, but... So Kelly Harper's having a great year this year.
Yep.
And once everyone sees that, which was, what, a month ago or more now at this point, just how good they could be, people that aren't even watching or paying attention hop on phone calls and radio and social media, and they're like, this is the best team Harper's had. This is an Elite Eight team. If she can't take this team to the Elite Eight, then she's not it. And it's like, get over yourself. Like, come on. It happens. Okay, I saw even some this year with Heupel. Heupel goes 7-5 and loses some close games and gives a couple amazing teams, a tough battle. And people are on there, you know, saying next year it's 9-3 or bust. There's no way Heupel can go anything but 9-3. And I'm just like, maybe that's true. You're exhausting. Do you know how long it is until football season? Do you know how many games they still have to play to get into the tournament? You say stuff like that. What if two girls get COVID and they get a high ankle sprain? Are they still an Elite Eight team, a Final Four team? I don't know. Maybe they have depth, but like...
Tamari Key is
that whole thing drives me crazy.
And because of her injury yesterday, she will be back based on the initial reports yesterday. But yeah, it shows you how fragile it is. Ray Burrell comes back and plays really well yesterday, is rounding back into form, and then Tamari Key turns an ankle. It shows you how fragile the whole thing is, but they
are
playing...
It's just the mentality. The mentality of, right. Ooh, wait a minute. Could they have some expectations on them right now? Boom! Win the whole thing or you're terrible. You fan that thinks like that, you...
And there are some out there. Me. And there are also some people that are still, as Earl said, banging the drum of, well...
A lot of
Kelly
them are
Harper
those people. We've been saying she's a bad hire the whole time. It happened with all the football hires we make. Listen, if you say when we hire a coach in football that there's no way that guy's going to last, he is not the guy... That's easy money. You know what you're getting? There's no odds on that. Having the other side of that is where it gets hard, but you kind of got to watch. Kelly Harper's done a good job the whole time she's been here. It's been different, up and down a little bit. She's always managed. I don't know. I don't have any problems with her.
She has done a great job with this team and putting together and getting the grad transfer of Alexis Dye, who was fantastic at a slightly lower level. She showed that she belongs here and has been an energy player off the is in a starting role. But then yesterday in the second half, they didn't start to struggle, but they started to wane a little bit. Alexis Dye checks back in, and all is right with the world again.
I just, you know, like we've been doing this for, this is our, what, fifth year?
Starting of sixth, yeah.
Starting of sixth. No way, no way. In January, with Tennessee men's basketball and NFL playoff football, in almost every one of those other years, we don't talk about the Lady Vols. There's not a lot to talk about. And you got NFL football.
There were some struggles in some of those past years.
I'm just
saying,
like, you can go back and look. Like, the fact that we're taking calls on it, talking about it, obviously means that they're very good. Because in a normal year, it's not anyone's fault. It's just not what people call to talk about. That's not what they want to talk about. They want to talk about Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott and Fulkerson. And I'm just, that's a good change. Good for them for being good.
It played very well. We will come back here on the Eric Cain Show, 656-9900, 866-656-9900, if you want to join us. More on Tennessee hoops coming up against Kentucky. We'll dive into them in the 11 o'clock hour. More on the NFL playoffs when we return next on the Eric Cain Show.
Now, yesterday in the NFL and Super Wild Card action in the AFC, the Chiefs took down the Steelers 42-21. Patrick Mahomes threw for 5 touchdowns and 404 yards. In the NFC, the 49ers held on late against the Cowboys 23-17. The 49ers will now travel to Green Bay to take on the Packers in the divisional round. Elsewhere, Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks took down the Eagles 31-15. The Bucks will host the winner of tonight's Rams and Cardinals game. In next week's divisional round, the number 5 Lady Vols took down number 19 Kentucky yesterday 84-58 to improve to 6-0 in SEC play. Keyon Green and Ray Burrell each scored 14 points. College basketball yesterday, number 16 Ohio State got by Penn State 61-56. Number 14 Villanova beat down Butler 82-42. In the NBA, Kevin Durant is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a sprained MCL. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Welcome back into the Eric Ainge Show. Logan Ward, Brian Rice, and myself, Eric Ainge of the Eric Ainge Show.
Okay, beyond Cowboys and 49ers, best playoff game you saw this weekend?
Bills. They.
It was not a competitive game, but it was fun to watch.
The Patriots. I still think Mac Jones is going to be a really good pro.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Belichick, this was his year. This was the year they started playing good again. They're in the playoffs. And the Bills just showed them the 50 states. It was really bad.
You know, I've been high on the Bills. They had a couple of games this year where they just...
It doesn't click. That's the NFL, though. I mean, that's...
But when that happened, a lot of people were like, yeah, they aren't for real. They aren't for real. No. Well, they very clearly were for real and absolutely showed that up. 47-17. It was 27-3 at the half.
Yeah, it was never close. There's all these stats, you know, because everybody overanalyzes everything. So they pulled up a stat of Josh Allen in sub 32 degree weather or something like that. And his numbers and his wins and losses sucked. I'm not going to lie. They were bad. What does that have to do with the game plan that they had?
They should have pulled it up for his stats in college when he happened, because he played at Wyoming. Anybody knows how to play in the cold, it's Josh Allen.
And it's not like he had 40 examples of it. You know, he had 5 games that he's played. What if he had 4 average to below average games? He's still a young player.
Yeah.
He killed them. I was happy for the offensive coordinator. He's my buddy, and obviously Josh
might
Allen.
might have a head coaching opportunity here shortly.
He's been named for like 4 or 5 the last 3 years or so. Jobs that come open, he gets an interview every time. They never pick him, but
this might be the year.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's what he's always wanted to do. So, but he's really good at calling plays. He's the smartest. And I've been around David Cutcliffe, just some really smart. John Gruden, been in meetings. Brian Schottenheimer. Brian Daboll, the OC for the Bills, is by far the smartest football guy I've ever been around. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. He's got a shiny toy in Josh Allen, too.
The Bengals beat the Raiders 26-19. That was a fun, competitive game.
Yep.
Hot take, by the way, from that game. Drew Brees is not good at being a game analyst. He is fine in the studio before the game. He is atrocious in-game. I noticed it on a couple of the Notre Dame games that he did, but, you know, that's college on Saturdays. How much is Drew Brees paying attention to college football? Okay. He had every opportunity to be ready for that game on Saturday, and it was awful.
I wasn't paying attention. I watched the game. I must not have been.
I liked Drew Brees as a quarterback. He is he's terrible on TV. So that's a complete side note. But how about Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow just incredible, doing Joe Burrow things.
He's incredible. The same guy that he was at LSU in year two for that run in 2019, he is that exact same guy. Joe Burrow, and like honestly, all the great ones I've ever been around are like this. They are who they are. They are what they are. And they are that way 24/7, 365.
Do you think his demeanor is his biggest strength right now as a quarterback? Because it just seems like whatever situation they put him in, he's going to go, all right, well, we're going to go now.
This will be a little more difficult, but we got... No, I think it helps him ultimately because of his confidence. The other 10 guys on the field are playing above their ability, that the stress of the situation. Because guess what? It's not just quarterbacks. Gosh, if you're a left tackle blocking an all-pro coming off the edge, you know you can't give up a sack, so what do? You overset, and the guy gets a sack. The stress of tight ball game stuff really affects all the guys, even most of them, even more than the quarterback. So he's so cool, it's just it works.
His numbers weren't eye-popping. He was 24-34, good completion percentage. But 24-34, 244 yards, 2 touchdowns. Most importantly, no interceptions.
Yeah, they can win games with him doing that. There's going to be a game if they want to make it all the way. They're going to have to. He's going to have 3 or 4.
And he is capable of doing that.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of young quarterbacks in the NFL right now that are really, really good. Like, Dak's not young. Dak's been around forever now.
Yeah.
He's a, like, year after second contract guy. You know, like, but Kyler Murray, he's up and down. He's ridiculous. There's a lot of different ones. You know, you also got the old heads. I'm telling you, I think that the Rams are going to make some noise.
Okay.
Matt Stafford, every single thing you talk about with Matt Stafford is how bad he has been in crunch time, playoff, whatever. Well, like, he played for the Lions, dude. This is the first year he's ever been a quarterback of a team that he can go do his thing and win the game.
It is the year.
He may be great.
It is the year of the Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh, yeah. There's that, too. I just think he's really good. He's made good decisions with the ball. He's got arguably the best connection with a receiver. Not arguably. Him and Cooper Kupp have by far the best wide receiver QB connection of anybody in the league.
This year they have, yeah.
And you got this other guy who's just, you know, kind of just lays around and, you know, makes a couple catches. You got Odell Beckham Jr., who's not being an idiot. Yeah. He's healthy, and he's currently not acting a fool. So he is maybe the best player on the field. Every time he's on the field.
You mean he's not Antonio Brown tossing his pads?
No, and he's been that way. This dude handles... Now, part of the reason I think he's done well there is because he hasn't had a lot of losing and stress. You know, he has an opportunity. He's got a quarterback that he believes in. He's got a head coach that he vibes with. He's not even the number one guy on the depth chart right now. He's getting second-tier coverage because of Cooper Kupp. And I'm telling you, there's been at least 3 games since they've had him where teams go, no. Cooper Kupp gets open, he makes catches, but no, we're not letting Odell Beckham Jr. beat us. And they kick it to him, and then Kupp has 12 catches for 180 yards. Like, I don't know how you cover them both. And I think McVay, you know, he got a little bit of a hard time. They got to the Super Bowl and haven't been back doing anything like that since. Well, he got Jared Goff to the Super Bowl. So, like, remember that. He got Goff to get his team to the Super Bowl. They've managed to maintain and keep most of the guys on the defense that are really good, added some key pieces on offense, and now they got Matt Stafford, who is one run or two to the Super Bowl away from being a Hall of Famer. You can't be at the... Dan Marino did it with the Dolphins. I mean, it's doable, but it's hard to become a Hall of Famer if you only play regular season football. just straight up is. Doesn't matter. I mean, numbers can be crazy, whatever.
Dan Marino is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but not winning a Super Bowl hurt his resume, and really a lack of playoff success at all after getting to the Super Bowl, I believe, as a rookie. Beyond that, his playoff performance was not great.
He's still a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
absolutely. But he's one of the greatest of all time. Statistically, you're talking about him being one of the two or three greatest all time, but didn't have a Super Bowl, and it always felt like that somehow invalidated him. I don't agree that it invalidated him, but
well, no, it's less of the conversation. I mean, when you talk about quarterbacks when they're done, you talk about how many Super Bowls they won.
Peyton Manning getting a second one, even though he was
first ballot, regardless.
Very, you know, Brock Osweiler had a lot to do with them in the Super Bowl that year too. Yeah. But Peyton Manning getting a second one, regardless of how he got it, put his career even more over the top than it was before.
People don't think Eli Manning's going to go in the Hall of Fame. They're crazy.
Those people are stupid.
They're crazy.
In my opinion.
He won two Super Bowls and was a top five passer in almost every year he played. Top 10 for sure, top five in most, and right at the top a couple times. That's like, you know, Matt Stafford, he hasn't done that yet. You know, like if his career stopped today, I don't think he's in. Matt Stafford's not a Hall of Famer today. But you get opportunities to play. If he's shown anybody anything, we've watched quarterbacks play in this league longer than ever now.
He finally got the opportunity to get away from the stank of Detroit.
Yeah, and just
everything the Lions
watching,
have
watching
been
him,
for decades.
He was so beat up all the time. It's like when you watch one of these first picks of the draft, you know, David Carr go to the Texans. David Carr wasn't good. I don't think he would have been good. Our buddy from Kentucky, Tim Couch.
Yeah.
If Tim Couch went 28th in the draft to a team that was already good, Tim Couch could have been playing football for 20 years.
Yep.
He was incredible. But he went and ended his career with Cleveland. I mean, but you're done. You can't even play. It's not even fun anymore.
Heath Shuler, when he went to the
Redskins.
To, yeah.
Yep. If Heath Shuler could have been the 28th pick, who knows how good Heath is. Like, that's why I was saying Kyle Trask, out of all the quarterbacks, Mac Jones probably has the easiest route. And Kyle Trask, if he indeed stays on the team and takes over for Tom Brady, he could end up being as good as any of these guys that are getting picked high.
Because you're learning under.
Yeah, and you're Tom at a good Brady. And you're at a good team. You're Trevor Lawrence, you're with the Jags. Like, it's hard for me. If you're the first pick overall, second pick, what stuff like that, the easy money is that it's not going to work for you there.
Unfortunately, that's true.
And that's not a knock on you. Now, if you're Joe Burrow,
even at a time when quarterback is more important than any other position, being in the right situation is as important as anything. And Joe Burrow, I mean, Joe Burrow didn't walk into a team that didn't have any talent. He walked into a team that needed a quarterback to elevate the talent. And he was good enough to do that despite his injury and missing.
And come back and do it again.
Yeah.
If you're a first top five pick at quarterback in the NFL, you're going to one of the five worst teams that year.
Yeah.
Those teams usually fluctuate all around each other. It's rare. You know, and then you get a Peyton Manning going to the Colts, and he's not good his rookie year at all, but he's Peyton Manning. So guess what? He turns the franchise. Joe Burrow's that kind of guy. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is that guy. Trevor Lawrence is not making the Jags anything that they're not already, that they are.
You know what I'm saying? Trevor Lawrence on a good team, he would have been fine. He is never going to elevate
the
bad
Jags.
Team.
No, and that's not a knock on him. That's normal.
It's who he is.
You look at a guy like Mac Jones going in. If Mac Jones would have been the quarterback in Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence was the quarterback in New England, they would just flip roles. That's all. I think they're both comparable. They do different things well. One would have had a great year and the other one would have had a terrible year and vice versa. So if you're the first pick of the draft and you work out, I mean, look at the conversation already. Mayfield got the Browns playing pretty good at times. But he's inconsistent, and he's small, and he just doesn't seem to be that guy. So that's an example that it won't work out. Jared Goff, it's okay that he couldn't make the Rams work for him.
Yeah, he was good. They went to the playoffs.
They lost the Super Bowl, but that's what he has been the last 3 years is what he is.
Yeah.
So, gosh, how bad did the Rams win the lie? I mean, here's Jared Goff.
we'll take
Matt Stafford. Are you kidding me? And what, like a small island somewhere? Or like,
hey,
what else am I getting out of this?
I will trade you the WIVK truck over in the corner of the parking lot for your Denali. Does that work?
That's what they did.
It pretty much is.
That is what they did. And the work van out there, it doesn't even work. It needs a I'm just kidding, but it needs a transmission. It needs new tires. It's like they got Goff and they still had to you know, do 40 more things.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I am told the big WIVK truck does work and might get rewrapped, but
it
is.
I was just making a point.
But it is the point. We'll trade you something functional that is capable of doing
trade
something.
Trade you Brian Rice and my Denali.
Really good.
Brian Rice and my Denali for Bad Take Andy and the half your work truck in the back. Yeah.
Let's roll.
That's what the Rams did.
Let's roll. Final segment to this hour of the Hurricane Show's next. 656-9900, 866-656-9900 if you want to join us. Elsewhere in the NFL playoffs yesterday, and again, we'll run down everything that happened with Tennessee in Lexington against Kentucky coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Elsewhere in the NFL playoffs, Tampa Bay beat Philadelphia 31-15 in a game that was never really close. Philadelphia didn't score until the fourth quarter. In that one, in the early game yesterday, San Francisco, of course, 23-17 over the 49 or over Dallas. Chiefs 42, Steelers 21 last night in what is likely the last game of the career of Ben Roethlisberger. Bengals 26, Raiders 19, and then tonight the Cardinals and the Rams. So, Eric, you say Matt Stafford may lead the Rams to the promised land. First, he's got to get through Kyler Murray and the Cardinals.
I'm pretty sure this is the third time they've played each other this year,
too. It is,
too.
Yeah. They are division opponents. They are playing each other for the third time this year, as the Patriots and Bills did as well.
The Cardinals scare me because they don't even know what they're going to look like on any given Sunday or Monday. They have no idea. So, right? So, I mean, like, Kyler Murray can play out of his mind. It's so weird. Okay, does anyone else, is it not a little weird watching how small his strides are, but he runs faster than everybody? It's like a little, like a gerbil on a wheel. Like he's just going, and no one can touch him. It's insane. Like I keep watching him run and I'm like, well, surely that guy's got a good pursuit angle. He'll catch him. Sideline out of bounds. It's crazy. Like he's that athletic and he's playing very, very good football. Cliff Kingsbury, you know, I think all of us laughed a little when he went there. I think all of us laughed a lot.
Like, why are you hiring a below 500 college coach?
This kid had Cliff had the best player in the industrialized world at quarterback in college, and they were like 6-6.
Yep.
Imagine having Pat Mahomes and losing just as many games as you win. Now, I know part of that was his maturation. I get all that, but you can't tell me if you're good enough to be the best player in the world, then you are good enough to go better than 6-6 in college. So all of these reasons, we're sitting there going, it's not going to work. And then he goes there, I think it's for the first couple years that he was in Arizona. They weren't very good.
No.
But
They were
for, I don't know, the first half of the season-ish, or, you know, the meat of the season, they were one of the best teams in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
With a quarterback who's looking like he's going to probably end up being one of those.
And then they were fine when Kyler Murray was out with an injury, and then he comes back, and
again, it doesn't matter what you did, right? It matters how you're playing.
Yep.
I feel like the Rams and the Cardinals are both, I don't want to say peaking, but they are both playing their best football right now. I think it'll be an amazing game. I think this will be Bengals Raiders of the weekend. I don't think either team's going to smoke the other one. I think it'll be a good football game.
I'd be good with another Bengals.
You always have to. You got to lean the Rams because of their defensive front. But with a guy like Kyler Murray, I mean, Aaron Donald literally splits double teams and sacks the quarterback all day long. As long as they're like a Matt Ryan, maybe not a Matt Ryan statue, but like a, you know, a normal athlete. Kyler Murray is not a normal athlete playing quarterback.
No.
You can push in there and he can get out of there and turn what should have been a 7-yard loss and a sack to a 7-yard gain, and it's 2nd and 3. That's like demoralizing to a defense.
So tonight, Monday Night Football in the playoffs, and they have the Manning cast. With it being a playoff game and all the playoff implications, do you want to watch the Manning cast or do you want to watch the traditional broadcast?
Well, before we do that, did anybody click on the Nickelodeon cast?
Oh, yeah. The Nickelodeon cast is great.
They do a great job with
that. Yeah, because it's normal football, except they do fun things on top of it.
I didn't have my kids with me, but I would have actually been able to get my son and my middle daughter to watch the football game with me. But, yeah, I go back and forth. I just go last, back, boom, boom. If I get bored, if it's like a boring game, then I'll put on the Manning cast and still kind of keep up with what's happening.
I think the Manning cast has too many guests because they have one a quarter. I would prefer to hear more of Peyton and Eli talk about the game.
I agree.
Or just talk about football in general.
Yeah. It's a lot of nonsense.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we'd be weird if we, like, totally bang the drum of nonsense during sports information time.
Sometimes you got to have some nonsense.
Whatever, dude.
Tennessee and Kentucky. We review that coming up next. Final hour of the Eric Gaines Show is on the other side.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.